It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Trevor Sprague is the general manager for Caribou Hockey. We have a number of issues, topics to discuss during this podcast, but let's just sort of get a clarification on your role, what's involved with the title, and what you oversee.
Well, at this point in time, it's looking after 100-plus athletes and throughout five teams, and then also all the staff and the running of day-to-day between BC Hockey and our organization for all five teams.
So those five teams would be two for under 15.
Yep.
Under 17,
yes.
Under 18, the yep. Caribou Cougars yep. feature team,
yep.
and the under 18 female Northern Capitals female.
That's correct. Yep.
All right, we are going to be speaking about Caribou Cougars, Prince George Cougars. We will get into that. Mm-hmm. But right now, Hockey Canada seems to be front and center with the news, the yep. executive shakeup, and yep. there's going to be a brand new executive come in by December. The current board is out. They have resigned due to immense pressure, all kinds of problems. And why I bring this up is that the Caribou Cougars and Caribou Hockey, they are part of grassroots hockey.
Yep.
You develop players. Many of them go on to have great careers or just have great opportunities through university or whatever. Yep. So somebody that is so involved at the grassroots level, and you see what is happening to an organization that you speak with, Hockey Canada, and follow, what has been your reaction since you're now in your mid-40s, and you've yeah. been playing now since, what, you're in your teens?
Yep.
Younger?
Yep.
So you've been involved in the game in one aspect or another for over 30 years. Yeah. Things have changed, but have they changed enough? What are you thinking about considering what is going on with Hockey Canada?
Well, obviously, everything that's happened with Hockey Canada, with, you know, the government being involved, payouts, the executive, you know, all going away as of a day ago, you know, things just aren't right. And for me being truly behind Hockey Canada for all these years, you know, I'm, you know, disappointed that it has come to this, because this is our Canadian game, right? And there's not a World Juniors I miss, or, you know, an Olympics that I miss, where we get to watch, you know, our Canadian logo play and win championships. We're, you know, and that's what Canada's about, you know, is we're a championship country, you know, and the people that are in it. And Hockey Canada showed us that over the years, that's what they portray too, is excellence and performance, right? And developing hockey players throughout the, you know, the country and coaches as well. You know, I think there's something here to, you know, everybody's going to learn from, especially at the grassroots level. You know, there's been a lot of changes made already based on things that have to be dealt with on, like, hazing. They have an independent committee now that deals with that outside of BC Hockey and Hockey Canada, which I think is a good first step. It's third party. I don't know if it's for 100% of it, it's lawyers or hockey people or who it is on that independent advisory board for any of that stuff that does come up. But it takes it out of the coach's hands, and it takes it out of, you know, my hands as a GM, and just to make sure that information gets forwarded to the right people with Hockey Canada, and then they look after it from there.
You talked so much about how you and so many people yeah. are huge fans of World Junior
yeah.
and the Canadian success.
Yeah.
How much is tarnished with what's come out with the 2003 and 2018 team and allegations there?
Yeah, and it, you know what, it's, you know, Hockey Canada is going to have to rebuild that part of it. What are they going to do to market it back to guys like me? You know, just, you know, I'm still proud, you know, to say that I'm, you know, a part of hockey in Canada. I think you have a lot of things that have happened, you know, over the years in different sports. You know, let's, you know, you could throw in Tiger Woods here, you know, with everything that he went through. Well, I'm pretty sure Nike and Gatorade are sponsoring him again. Right. So he's still getting those endorsements. And hey, did they go away for a bit to punish him? Yeah, there's no doubt. And rightfully so. But has he changed his name? Has he done a, you know, good things in golf? Has he been accountable? He has. Nobody can argue that at this point in time with him. And I think, you know, MGM is, you know, sponsoring them to do their commercials on betting and stuff, right? So I think there's some things that Hockey Canada is going to need to do here, you know, to get themselves back into the right order for everybody's mind and do the right things and be accountable at the end of the day. If this is what they've done, which everybody's been talking about, then be accountable and move forward and see what we can do to bring our name back to where it is.
Do you feel that it took all those sponsors that said, we are not going to sponsor anymore, we are taking money away, that eventually they obviously had no choice?
Yeah, and I think I'm not, you know, maybe they'll never come back, but I think they will. I think they're giving them a slap on the hand right now, or wrist, however you want to look at it. I think, you know, if we're looking at it, the whole umbrella of Hockey Canada includes female hockey and male hockey. You know, like you look at the Esso Cup, for instance. I think for how much that they support Esso, and I work for Gary Young Agencies, that's Esso. You know, I think they should have probably kept that part of it to stay involved on the female game. They've been doing it over 90 years. So, you know, if their funding is all about, you know, female hockey, well, let's keep it there. You know, but corporate companies also look at it that it's the whole umbrella. So if we're not going to support the male side, we're not going to support the female side. I think that gives an opportunity, you know, for some of these sponsors to build the female side of it like they did the male side of it and keep that involved. I think a little bit of that is unfair to that side of the game. But on the male side of the game, they've got to be able to earn that stuff back too. And that Hockey Canada is going to have to be able to help do that.
So being a key person with Caribou Hockey and your involvement for so long, if a new board member from Hockey Canada came and asked your opinion of what they can do going forward to create a better image and then do things a lot better than has been done in the past, what advice would you offer?
I think it's just, you know, for Hockey Canada, it's right now with the new board is, you know, what are we going to do to make our name, get our name back to where it needs to be? Because in years past, since the beginning, they've been unbelievable organization within the world, and everybody wants to be like them. They follow them, all the other nations look at what they're doing based on development and trying to do some of the similar things. Every nation's different, but there's a lot of the things that they do to copy Hockey Canada on how they portray themselves within the hockey world. They're going to need to figure that out real quick. How are we going to change our image at the grassroots levels for us to benefit what we do in the Olympics and in World Juniors or under 18 or under 17? And I think that's where it's going to start with, you know, with the minor hockey associations, the provinces throughout Canada to be able to help push that ahead as well.
You deal with teenagers. You know, as young as 13 or 14, as old as 18.
Yep.
Now, is there a responsibility or has things already been taking place that somebody like yourself in your position sits down, particularly with teenage boys, and, you know, lays it out on a map or, you know, lays it, this is what is acceptable. Yeah. This is not what is acceptable. And so that the guidelines are.
Yeah, it's a, you know, player code of conduct is what it is. And we've dealt with that with all of our staff, our sports shrink, guy Colin. We've had him helping us out with that with our four AAA teams as well. And it's something that's that you know. Players, kids are kids. Okay. There's people that are going to make mistakes based on that code of conduct, but it also gives us like, okay, this is our code of conduct is what you just did. Is that right? No, it's not. Okay. Well, here's the consequences. So the player already knows when they walk into a room, what the code of conduct is and what the structure is for us to build good people. And that's what we want to do first. So it's, I think it's an easy thing when we're talking with our athletes with it, especially all of our coaching staff have done a great job with all five teams to implement that. We've always had it actually, and bringing Colin in has even helped our staff out and our players out with it as well. If they choose to make a bad decision, well, they know that there's a consequence to it. And parents, you know, obviously have been talked about it with all of our staff on Zoom's a big thing now. And those meetings are recorded. So if we have to go back with a parent, it's like, here you go. With BC Hockey and Hockey Canada, policies on everything that me and you're just talking about are already on there and how they're dealt with. You know, if it's even right down to vaping or doing drugs or, you know, smoking, it's a 30-day suspension, plain and simple. If a parent or a player is going to
players can't smoke?
No, or chew or anything like that. It's right online with Hockey Canada and BC Hockey. So, and they push that in all our meetings. Hey, just remember, there's none of that. So now did it's about, you know, they're about being athletes, right? And like I said earlier, not every kid's going to make the right decision. Everybody has a different background, but the structure stays the same for everybody. So if somebody's outside that structure or that code of conduct, then we deal with it in the proper manner.
So let's compare now to 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Are you finding there's more or less a discipline than you were handing out? And what are some of the areas that are still of concern?
Well, I think, you know, I think society overall, you know, Colin probably doesn't like me using this word, but our society is soft. Yeah. You know, I think, and that, you know, does that result from, you know, school? You know, nobody gives a spanking anymore like when I grew up, and I probably deserved 99% of them.
Maybe I'm sure you did.
Probably 100, but you know, like I usually didn't do that again, right? Yeah. And now, you know, it's and that's why you come up with a code of conduct, is that to say to the player, well, is that part of our code of conduct? No, it's not. Okay, so here's the discipline, right? Are coaches able to be hard on players and push them? I hope so, but they're scared to, you know, and that's weird. Like that's, you know, you're, there's an expectation of a parent paying, you know, let's just say anywhere from 10 grand to 50 grand for their kid to play hockey. You know, just open the door and let's everybody be fair. And well, that's not life. That's not what the game also is about. Are we there to develop? Yeah. Is there different roles on a team? You know, top two lines or bottom two lines? Yeah. But it's, you know, we're you know, discipline in a lot of ways. It's more like when I got discipline in hockey, my dad was like, yeah, perfect, awesome. Now it's like any excuse why my kid shouldn't get disciplined, like why he shouldn't sit on the bench. It's not, you know, kicking him in the butt and saying, yeah, listen up. This is the money I'm spending. So, you know, do I think that kids understand the concept of how much money and how much time their mom and dads are putting out? I think it's lost. And the reason why I say that is because I got coaches bringing $350 sticks after practice into the dressing room. $350 they leave out on the dress. Like, yeah, like, well, you know, one of my coaches was auctioning it off. $100, $350 stick for $100, just to kind of prove a point, right? Like, hey, and that's a good analogy. Like that, I'm like, yeah, you're right about that, right? And you know, the parents are laughing. Well, you know, like with my daughter, she played hockey, and we were in the hockey store the other day, and there's a $450 stick. So how many kids are going to buy that, or parents, and how many times are going to leave?
All the sticks are that expensive at the pro level.
Yeah. Well, not at the pro. They're probably sponsored at the pro level.
Yeah, I guess.
So Crosby uses a stick, and every kid wants to use it, and they give it to him for free, but sell it for $450 with his name on it, right? It's like a Nike shirt. But like it's the concept of the value of money, I don't know if the players really understand that, what it costs. So when they come to the rink, you want them to be good people. You want them to have fun. You want them to play at the top level that they can. They need to be pushed to be able to do that, you know, and there's a right way to do it. Don't get me wrong. Right. But at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot of, you know, with our coaching staff hold our players accountable on everything more than anybody else that are in our leagues, in my mind. And that's me even just seeing it. Like, we had guys miss breakfast. Well, they didn't play that game. And the trainer from the other team's like, yeah, good luck. That's going to happen on our team. That would never happen. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's less accountability in the game. And more excuses. So
would somebody maybe think missing a breakfast is going a little too far, making somebody a whole game?
Well, when you got an itinerary that's given to you almost 2 weeks ahead of time, and you got an alarm clock or a cell phone, there's no reason for it. So what's the excuse, right? So what's the value of that? Like every game that they miss is $200, let's say. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that your mom and dad are okay to lose $400 or $200 because you got to, like, that's what I mean, right? Where you're saying, well, isn't that a little tough? Well, why? They have an itinerary. Why can't they do it? So if they're playing pro or the Western Hockey League and they're 15 minutes late for the bus, they're probably not going to play. Like, you know, we've seen it with Ovechkin too. He's not playing. Why? Because we've seen it at the pro level. Some guys sitting up in the stands because they haven't done something with their...
I don't recall Ovechkin ever missing games.
Maybe not Ovechkin.
I don't think those guys
But at the end of the day, there's been people that have... in the NHL or the highest level that have been held accountable on code of conduct for that, right? So,
can coaches get away with yelling and screaming and, you know, cursing and throwing garbage cans, or are those days done too?
Well, I think those things are done, like with our, you know, the refereeing side of things. You know, they've been, like, if there's, you know, any racial slurs or, you know, calling somebody a name, they're hard, or, you know, they're more attention to detail on that stuff. And if they don't quite get a number, then it's kind of like a warning, and we've got to send off, you know, a couple emails and make sure that BC Hockey knows that we're dealing with it with the player. The coaching side of it, like, you know, if you look at all the coaches that I have, are very passionate and they played the game. And, you know, they're yelling, but they're coaching, you know, they're directing, right? Nothing's personal. Like, if they lose 9-0, the coach is sitting there with them. You know, they win 9-0, the coach is sitting there with them, right? And I think we have all the coaches have a lot of passion. You know, they want to compete, they want to win. They all hate to lose, right? I would say kicking the garbage can thing, that doesn't happen anymore. Like, it doesn't. And I think some of them, a lot of them now are concreted down. So there's been a few broken feet over the years, I think. So
are there other things you can throw? I know in football they throw tablets.
I might break the old board over your knee at some point in time. But you know, I just think the coaches need to coach. And I think all the coaches, Hockey Canada and BC Hockey, I think have done a really good job with developing our coaches within Canada and knowing where those lines can be crossed. It's not a secret. It's all online. But you got to be able to coach, and you can't be scared not to coach. And, you know, we've got a group of coaches here that have played the game at a high level, that they've all won championships playing and coaching. So, you know, they're going to be louder. You know, I was very loud on the bench too. But at the same time, it's, you know, you have to have the respect to your players. Your players are going to want to have to play for you. 99% of the guys that played for me played for me. You know, they played hard for me, and we won a lot of hockey games, and we developed a program that we have today. And the coaches that we have today are helping to keep that moving forward with five teams. We used to have six, now we got five. And they're all doing a really good job, and they're doing a good job coaching these players, and these players come and play for them.
You wanted to be a career coach, and you had success at the under 17 level and all those things.
Yeah.
You had the dream of being the junior hockey coach and moving on somewhat, and developing and all those things. Yeah. And now you are not coaching.
Nope.
At least not on a bench.
No.
I'm sure you're coaching.
I help out once in a while.
You're coaching the coaches and everything like that. But your role as a general manager, is it difficult for you to be biting your tongue and not still, even though you're mid-40s, not necessarily following that ultimate dream of coaching?
Yeah, I think with the – well, let's start with the coaching side of it. Like, you know, you look at the history of – Trevor Sprague at a young age, you know, I got married when I was 20. Yeah. I had a mortgage at 18. I had bills to pay, right? You know, kids at, you know, 27, Julianne and Catherine. And to go off and coach, you know, like for 40 grand to be an assistant coach to get into hockey, not going to work. You know, like if you're a, you know, an assistant coach or, you know, hockey teams don't pay them a lot of money. So if you know, and then I started working, you know, at the oil company, you know, with Husky, with Sands, and now I'm with Gary Young Agencies. And, you know, we're making a good wage, you know, no different than my other head coaches that I have at U18 and U17. They're an accountant and one's electrician with CN. They have big families. They can't, you know, they might get offers to go and be an assistant coach somewhere. Yeah, how much are you going to pay me? Well, 40 grand. Well, where's all my benefits? Where's my, you know, pension? Where's all that? Right. There's not that in hockey. Yeah. So it's hard when you start out having a young family to be able to go and do that. Hey, did I want to, you know, be a coach at a different level? Yeah, but I really liked what I was doing here, developing coaches or developing players for the next level. Like, I enjoyed it. And you know what? BC Hockey gave it to me where, yeah, I got an answer to them. But I'm up here and we were able with a group of people that we had in the back of the time. Andy Beasley was with me as well. And we grew something. So I didn't really have an owner to talk to or have to. I was able to build this with the people that I had around me to be able to do it. You know, general manager side of it, five teams is a lot of work. And I'm not a computer guy. You know, I like the general manager side of it because you get to build something different every year. Different kids, different staff, different team. New things come up all the time. I really like that. I like working with my coaches. But my coaches also don't need a lot of help either on the coaching side because they are good coaches. Right. I don't have to micromanage them if they're doing everything that we have in place for our structure. Right. And just be creative within that structure. Would I rather coach? Yeah, I would. And, you know, with five hockey teams, I couldn't do this without my wife either, Jessie Sprague. She plays a big part behind the scenes, you know, with me on.
And usually the women do.
A lot of, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. Even our coaches, you know, play a big, their wives play a big part too and whatnot. But it's, you know, I'm on the road a lot with my job and you know, emails every day, and like you wouldn't believe, I got like five different email accounts, like, you know, trying to manage all that stuff. It's a big part of the game. It's a big part of being a general manager and moving things forward. And we want to make things better every year, right? So,
but obviously, playing is and you've talked to all of the guys. Playing is number one. Everybody will tell you.
Yeah.
But coaching is definitely number two. You can't replace the thrill behind the bench and the 2-2 tie and which guy you want on the power play or the penalty kill or barking at the referees for a bad call and all of that. It's not the same when you're sitting up at Kin 1 thinking to yourself, boy, oh boy, I'd like to be doing something or I'd like to be barking at somebody or I can make a difference.
Yeah, I don't really hang around the mic too much there with the – with the play-by-play guys, I kind of stand away. But, you know, I love coaching, but I really love what our guys are all doing, like our coaching staff And like, I don't think there's anybody that has the staff that we have throughout all five teams. So, but yes, I cringe sometimes being up there, but I got the right people behind the bench to deal with the game as it comes and manage it in the right way. And the thing with our coaching staff, if for all of them, if they do goof up or they make a wrong decision, they're pretty accountable. They're like, I screwed up there and I'll be better next time when I get put in that situation.
You've also given your hand in the past, a little bit you got into a color commentary side of it.
You're doing a lot longer than I did.
Well, yeah, the thing is that like for somebody like you, you didn't care about being politically correct and all of that. No. Did that sort of play into it? Or, how did you find that? Or is that something you'd like to eventually get back into? Or is that just not you?
Oh, I'd do it. I'd do it again. There's no problem. But it's, you know, like politically correct, you know, is probably another part of what we talked about earlier. Everybody has to be more. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm offside a lot. Yeah. You know, there's no doubt, but I get my point across. Yeah. And being direct, some people don't like that black and white. They want you to sugarcoat things. Well, I don't really sugarcoat things. And personally, I don't have time to do it.
Right.
So, you know, it's and right or wrong. I'm not going to tell you I'm right every time. But if I am wrong, I'll come back and say, hey, I'm wrong. You're right. Okay, let's try and move forward here and do something, right? But I don't just do that in hockey. I do that in life. Right. I do that with work. I do that with, you know, the contractors I deal with. I do it with the staff that I have under. Like, we got a great team at GYA.
Yeah.
And even Gary, being who he is and running that, he's the same way. So we get along. And we got a great team because of it, too, as well, right? So.
Well, the thing is, I've known you for 20, 25 years. And, you know, there's some people, a lot of people that will be listening to the podcast that do know you. But there's some that don't. And they're just getting to know you by listening to the podcast. And I can tell them firsthand that what you're listening to, who you are, this is who you are.
Yeah.
You don't change once you go to a dressing room, once you start getting the mics away. That's the way you are.
Yeah.
It's all of that. And that has been everybody that knows you.
Yeah.
That's been the secret to your success. You're not trying to say things or make somebody feel good for the sake of it or being negative towards somebody just for the sake of it. Mm. You're just being as honest as you possibly can and live your life whether you're on a microphone right now or not.
Absolutely. I tell you, with hockey, I'm the biggest fan of everybody. You know,
just love the game.
Yeah, I love the game. And my family loves the game. And they really like the Boston Bruins. Awesome. It's good. So, and the Caribou Cougar program and the Caribou Cougars and the Capitals and the Bobcats. So, you know, like, we're entrenched into hockey and, you know, we love the game. I love it. I mean, it was my dad's fault. Bob LePage got me out onto the ice and now this is, you know, some people have, are an addict about something. Well, I'm an addict about hockey. That's my whole thing. It's so my wife kind of blames my stepdad, Bob, and says, you got him into hockey. Now look at what we're at, you know. So
you still have those competitive battles with your brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Tim and I. Yeah.
Tim
and Trent. Yeah.
Trent. Yeah.
Trent's pretty laid back. Tim and I are more alike. We're pretty fired.
Was Tim the best of the hockey players?
No, actually, Trent was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Tim was more vocal and a few suspensions and stuff.
Right, okay.
Trent was pretty passive, but a really good hockey player. So,
You're listening to Cat Scans, brought to you by Integris Local Speaks Louder Than Words. Trevor Sprague is the general manager for Caribou Hockey. I want to talk about the teams, obviously.
Yep.
But before I do, what is the relationship with the Caribou Cougars and the Prince George Cougars?
Really good. It's like with starting, you know, it's even when Dallas Thompson was in place. There's GM and then new ownership come in. Obviously, I know them all on a working side of it as well, and Pocock on more of the hockey because he was in minor hockey when I was going through it at a younger age and stuff. You know, and we've had a few, you know, Todd Harkins and now Lamb and, you know, the new ownership and the new coaches over the years. It's been good. We've got a part to play, right? They're right next door. They see our players every week. You know, Steve O'Rourke played a big part of that, obviously, that he's gone, but he was in part of Prince George Minor Hockey, and he's seen our guys all the time on being the player development guy. And talking with Mark and the ownership group, it's good. You know, if there's players that they're interested in, obviously they got a firsthand knowledge with, you know, Tyler being an alumni as well and working that end of it.
There a closer relationship with the Prince George Cougars than there is with the Spruce Kings, or do you have a
It's the same. Yeah. Like, and Mike and Alex have been awesome down there. Yeah. You know, and RJ obviously works with them too. Barra family's been a big part of the Spruce Kings organization over the years as well too. So, you know, and RJ played for him. He's alumni there, and him and Tyler, you know, work with Mike Hawes and Alex and AP and guys and whatnot. No different than Lamb, you know, and that coaching staff. So, you know, it's all around a good thing in hockey. There's not too many places in the world that have, you know, Major Midget and the organization that we have with those five teams and Junior A in the Western Hockey League. So when you are coming here, there's a lot of hockey and there's a lot of hockey to watch and there's a lot of opportunity to move up to those two leagues. So.
Right. And you do have with those teams and everything, the relationships and all of that with the Prince George Cougars. Now, are you still a WHL scout or BCHL scout?
No.
You gave that up?
Gave that too much with five teams. So.
Right.
But it's... But, you know, like we talked to a lot of the GMs over the year, you know, Mike Johnson, obviously I worked with Portland, so we talked quite a bit. And you know, if he has questions about Northern guys, no different than Mark phoning me or phoning any of our staff to be able to, you know, have a conversation about a player, right?
So if there is a player that you have identified maybe as a young age or whatever that is going to be a special player, that is going to be a big-time player, in your opinion, with your experience, do you go to the PG Cougars first and say, hey, before this guy gets out of town or before other people notice him, I'm telling you, get him on your protected list, get him on... Does that happen?
Or look at him in the draft coming up.
Or look at him at the
absolutely.
Draft.
Yeah, 100%.
And do you find that... They listen, they don't, half and half. How does that work?
Hey, they get the info, they deal with it the way they deal with it.
Right.
Right? Plain and simple. Yeah. I'm not the GM for the Spruce Kings. I'm not the GM for the Cougars. So as long as they get the information, if it comes from Tyler or RJ or myself, they got first dibs. There's no reason why they can't come across both teams and watch us playing Kin 1 at 2:30 in the afternoon now because obviously the ice times have changed with the Cougars on the weekend, so we're a little bit earlier instead of 4:30, but hey, it's right there. So they all obviously get the info from our staff. They have the opportunity to come out and watch whenever they want. It's pretty easy to find our schedule.
When you were making these suggestions and you sort of look at your track record, what would it be? 50%, 75%, 25% of guys that you, I'm talking about really elite guys, not somebody that, you know, you may want to take a flyer on or might even be a late bloomer. But, you know, do you sort of keep a track record for yourself and say, boy, this guy went this and I knew he was a little better or however. Did you ever do that?
You know what? It's the players got to, you know, do we think they're going to fit in Junior A? Do we think they're going to fit in the Western Hockey League? It's really the player, like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? But, you know, there's good midget players, you know, that they plateau at midget. And then the guys that move on to Junior A in the Western Hockey League, some of them plateau there, and then some of them go on to you know, pro, semi-pro, go play U-Sport or NCAA, right? So there's a lot of success there. I think if you look at where we are in the north, and me knowing this just from our U18, and obviously everybody feeds that now, we've moved more guys onto the Western Hockey League in Junior A than any other team in the province. And
that's the Caribou Cougars under 18 team.
Yeah. Well, everything feeds to that, right?
Right.
So that's, and that was before we had these teams. Like, Now, I'm not saying that we move more guys onto the NHL, because that's like, that was the Giants, now Hawks. Like, you know, all that. It's a little different, right? Finished second, like, I think 10 times in a row with the playing.
Yeah, you know, so that.
Oh, yeah. I don't like to lose. No. Who wants to be the first loser? Nobody does, right? No. But just knowing what we've been able to do in the North on promoting our players throughout those leagues. And Junior A also is Alberta, too. We've moved a lot of guys into Alberta. The Saints have, you know, a few of our guys. And then there's a few guys playing in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, too. So, you know, we're pretty proud of moving on a lot of guys. Like, during COVID, we had a lot of guys leave that year. And I think we were around 11 or 12, maybe even more, because we had a bigger roster that moved on to go to Junior A or the Western Hockey League, Brown being one of them, right?
Yeah.
So we've moved.
Brown of the Cougars, just so people know.
Yeah, he's first. PG Cougars. But it, you know, and Fisher's up there, you know.
There's two Prince George guys on the PG Cougars.
And we've always had a couple guys there for the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, there's no doubt. And there's a lot of history there. So,
what is your territory? It used to be massive, right, from like 100 mile up to the border. Is it still the same?
Still the same. So we're Williams Lake to Whitehorse, and then out to Rupert, like Dease Lake.
Wow. And so then you have exclusive rights to players in those territories?
Yeah. They come. That's our zone. So they come to us, right? And then we've got a few players right from Yellowknife as well. Mm-hmm. So kind of going across into the Northwest Territories.
We've talked in the past that it's, you know, it can be 10,000-15,000 a year for a player to play for the Caribou Cougars.
Yeah.
Is there anything in place for, even if it's the most skilled guy or a guy that would be on the third line that would like to play, but they're from out of town or whatever, and it's just too costly? Like, is there that work?
I think BC Hockey has a fund there that they can apply for.
Okay.
So when a parent talks to me about something like that, then they just apply for that grant through BC Hockey. So that's what BC Hockey has set up.
I want to talk about your teams now. It's very early in the season.
Yeah.
So let's start with the young and move up. Under 50, there's two.
There's the double A. So there's double A Bobcats. Yeah. So our zones with them is from like Prince George out to Rupert, up to Stewart, and then from Prince George, Mackenzie, Prince George, right out to Hunter Mile. So they only have the two zones because we have the trackers up north in Fort St. John. So they have pretty much Chetwynd to Whitehorse is what they have. And they're a double A team. They don't necessarily play in the double A league. They play because they're kind of closer to Alberta. So they play there. But then when provincials comes down to BC provincials for double A, Fort St. John, the trackers come down and play in that tournament.
So the Prince George based team is the triple A team.
And now there's a triple A team on top of that.
Right.
Okay.
They're
so
off to a pretty good start for
us. They are. Yeah, they're doing well. They're young. Like our well, Prince George, my
15, you gotta be young.
Yeah, well we're mostly first years on that team.
Oh, okay.
So So we've got we've got a few. We've got Derek Woods coaching that team there with Randy Wilson's our manager there. Mm-hmm. And then we have Matthew McGrath is the assistant coach there. So we got an alumni, another guy giving back there as well. We've got a great coaching staff there that's working with that young team. And a lot of the Prince, like where Steve O'Rourke, you know, for 2 years working with that kind of group coming up because they have their rep peewee teams kind of like their flagship team.
Yeah.
They've did a really good job developing, you know, that group of young players coming through, and the next group that's coming up is looking very good with Prince George Minor Hockey, but not even with them, like the whole region in their grassroots levels has actually done really good in the North on developing those younger players.
Under 17s seem like they might be in the middle of the pack or so.
Yeah, they actually, you know, U17 and U18 got a lot of blue collar on them, like you seen back in the day when I had, the Crafts, the Albies, where we never had any big draft pick guys. We got a workhorse team, but I think what we have with both of them, and this is something Tyler and I and Stu were talking about the last month or so, is really good leadership with the group. Just mature, right? And not a lot of just come to work every day. Like, you're, you know, we're going to see these teams, you know, at Christmas time, I think we're gonna roll over teams. You know, we're gonna have to. They're gonna be close games.
Under 17 or under 18?
Both. Both have a lot of
confident.
They have a lot of good things going there. Things that I seen years ago, you know, with these workhorse type players.
Have a good goalie, have a good team.
We do. I think we got good goaltending right now. Okay. And Chris Joyce is our goaltending coach, and you know he's, you know, we gotta trust in him to do the right job. But you know, at the same time, we do have to have good goaltending to win hockey games. And if everybody buys in to what the coaching staff's putting out, they're going to be fine. The game plans are awesome. Like the preparation that the staff are doing with these athletes going in to everything that they have accessible to them is outstanding. Like there's you get all the information's there on the team that you're playing. No different than the Western Hockey League or Junior A.
The under 18 team started with a pair of losses on the road, then they came back and came from behind and got a couple of wins at home. So they're okay, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Northern Capitals.
Yep.
They have traditionally been very, very strong and won championships.
Yep.
This a little bit of a transition year, struggles out of the gate.
Yep.
What can you tell us about the Northern Capitals under 18 female team?
Well, new coaching staff there. So we got Merced Moitchin's the head coach, and then we have Mike McKay.
Right.
And then we have Lee J. Leslie. So we got him kind of roped back in to help it out. We got good knowledge there. And then Sage Desjardins in. She came back from UFC. She was there for 5 years. So she's an alumni. So she's one of our assistant coaches as well, which is nice to have, you know, a player that just came back from playing at the highest level of female hockey. So, you know, in Canada. So it's pretty awesome for those young ladies to be able to latch and talk to her about her experiences in the school and whatnot, right? So it's a great coaching staff. We're young. We got three young ladies that are underage for midget hockey. So they could potentially play there for 4 years. We've got some good leadership there. Rachel Lowen's our captain there from Williams Lake. So her and her assistant captain's working with the new coaching staff and everything there is going well. It's going to be a bit of a, you know, we lost three of our top players, obviously the academies.
That's what you want?
It's academies. I don't really want to develop players for academies, but I guess we did. But, you know, it's at the end of the day.
Doesn't that benefit their careers?
Because it's the same level,
right? Okay.
So we'd rather them stay and be loyal to the North and wear our jersey and obviously make the players around them better and just the experience and what they have there. You don't ever want to lose your best players, but hey, we did. They had another option, another choice, and that's regardless if it was hockey or friends. I guess that's where it comes down to.
Where is female hockey registration wise? Up, down, up, the same?
It's up. It's up. And like even our registration for Capitals has gone from high 20s to high 40s. So hopefully this year coming up with them being under the Caribou Hockey umbrella, we've promoted them. Teresa Phillips has done a great job on where she looks after all Northern female hockey in the North. Angela Eyre and Fort St. John is part of that as well with the Predators program. And they're all wanting to feed it into the Capitals program. So, you know, at the grassroots levels in female hockey in the North is very strong. We have the right people sitting there pushing it, and we have a great opportunity for them to play at the highest level. And not a lot of people, I tell a lot of these people, is that there's no other, there's no junior team above them. They are the highest level for female hockey in the North. So there's a lot of eyes and ears watching what these girls and how they do. But we're in a good spot based on development right now. We're rebuilding, there's no doubt. We got great coaching staff, we got good leadership, and you know, we have Kathy Bryant is the manager there. You know, is her dad, Eric Henderson. So she's ruling the roost there. She's actually the real boss. But their daughter Abby plays on the team, and she's doing well there as well. So
Well, we're going to bring you back, and the next time we bring you back, it is going to be maybe your favorite subject that we haven't touched on yet, but we are, and that is assuming it's going to go ahead, and I'm assured that it is.
Okay.
The outdoor game.
Yep, it is.
It's going ahead in January.
Same
Port St. James.
20th,
Okay. Yeah. I'll give you just a preview. When I bring you back next time, it'll be a lot closer to the event, right? But just give me a tiny, as we wrap this up, tiny little preview, what's coming up for the outdoor game that is so special in Port St. James come January.
We got two night games.
Two night games.
Two night games, Friday and Saturday,
right.
So that is new.
The teams and opponents all been determined?
Yep, we have the Lakers coming up to play the Capitals, and then we have Kamloops Thompson Blazers coming up to play the Caribou Cougars.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the under 18 for the females and for the guys.
Yep.
And they each will get one indoor game, one outdoor game.
Absolutely.
In Fort St. James.
Yep. The girls will play their indoor game in Vanderhoof, though.
Right, okay. Yep. Right. And is there going to be any big changes from what you've done in the past?
Nope, not right now. The only, because we've actually done a really good job on getting it. I just need cold weather to make sure I get the
weather. You're not going to have any trouble getting the cold weather. You'll get the wind, you'll get the cold.
Yeah. The ice was a little beat up last year, but yeah, it's... We did a really good job with the group. We got a few alumni dads in there that help out, and they, both communities have been outstanding. But it's you know, it's a pretty big event. It's a lot of work.
It's huge. And you do a lot of the grunt work. People would think that Trevor Sprague himself would actually. He's a guy that likes to delegate and assign the dirty jobs.
No, I.
But you do that yourself.
I think the first year I did almost 43 hours in a row. Running the Zamboni from their sawmill that we found to right by the Petrican, running right through Nikazi.
But I was right. That is your favorite.
Everything's my favorite.
But that is that's obviously nothing could replace winning a championship or something, right?
Yeah.
But
it's
that
awesome.
Beats any other weekend.
It beats any other weekend. It's like, who does that?
I know.
Like nobody wants to put the effort in. Like that's the thing. It's just work. But we.
And if your fingers aren't frozen, there's something wrong.
Well, there's. It's great experience. Like the you know, the teams that came up from Vancouver over the years to play there at their year end party. Then what was the best thing? They're like, the outdoor game is unreal.
Yeah.
Right. Like
you don't have any trouble getting teams.
No.
No. They all want to freeze.
Everybody's begging. I just, if I like the GM, they can come up. If I don't like the GM, they come up. In a few years, so
you've had requests.
They all want to come up, they all want to play.
What is it about the fort?
But you know what, they got the rink, they got the perfect rink. You know, like, hey, am I working things behind the scenes to see if we can get some funding through the band to get us a little bigger rink, you know, the longer wire, but you know,
nobody thought about it at Prince George?
Well, I tried to do it here, but you know, like, realistically, for us to do it here, we'd need to get the oval in the back. Like when they did the winter games, what they should have done was is put a plant in.
Right.
And then we could have had a hockey rink and a stand straight in the middle and put the netting around, because we don't want pucks hitting anybody. And the Cougars could have an outdoor game. The Spruce Kings could have an outdoor game. Yeah. We could have an outdoor game. Like, you know, it's
broadcast outdoors.
I don't know. Well, you got to toughen up. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, come to.
I used to have to walk to school backwards because the winds were so bad. And I got older.
Our play-by-play guys got their own media stand out there, and they're watching. They're doing their thing, man. Like it's winter. It's a winter game. It's cold. It's not top of the CN Center there, and your nice cozy office.
I know. It's nice and cozy and everything like that. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun to bring you back. We'll have an update on where the teams are at, where Hockey Canada is at.
Yep.
But that will be our when we have you later in the season.
Yep.
That's going to be our feature, our focus. Yep. Will be that outdoor game in Fort St. James that is spectacular and gets not just local attention, but attention more around the province and all over.
I think it'd be good to bring Bruff in at the same time, and
and
he can, you know, tell you from a coach and player perspective, because he's in the, you know, he's on the bench and whatnot. I can talk to you more about the communities and how everything's going. And it's supposed to start earlier this year. We got a plan to get ice in. We're actually going to hopefully have it all in by December, and then when I go in January to do the paint and the lines. Yeah. So it won't be as much work. We're getting a little better. But like I said, we got Mike Goodwin there. His boys played in our program. He helps us out a ton. Kim Lodge, him as well, and Marcus Allen's dad, Steve Allen. So, and we got a lot of people there, you know, with the band and locals to help us out. You know, the Hoys help us out a ton there, and as well to help things, because we do a lot of community engagement with the schools.
Right.
Coaches and captains go out with the minor hockey associations, female side, same thing. Working with, they got a big female jamboree in Vanderhoof that weekend that Teresa is.
Okay.
So they're going to stay and do a lot of things with the female program. So that's good.
Now, I know everybody, a lot of people, you know, struggled during the pandemic.
Yeah.
For you, with no hockey or the limited amount of hockey,
I'm surprised
you almost survived.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised my wife survived. She's like, you know, you've spent more time at home this whole winter than you have in the last 20 years. So, or over COVID.
Sense of normalcy is back to you, right?
Yeah, she's pretty happy. And so what team are you going with? Because you don't have to stay home. So, but no, it was tough to go through it. A lot of changes, and I just, the coaching staff and the players that we had over those, you know, 2.5 years, needed to be open-minded. A lot of changes, a lot of policies put in place, you know, and we just had to deal with it, and we dealt with it all in the best manner we could to make sure our players got a good experience and do what we could do as a staff. So.
Do you still try to get in as many PG Cougar games as you can?
I try, while doing all this since COVID, like last year, I think I made one or two games. I didn't, and I haven't been able to get to one this year yet, based on my schedule. But same thing with the Spruce Kings too. I haven't had an opportunity to get out there and see them at all in the last year or so. So, you know, once the teams are fully going and things, you know, are a little bit of a break here, probably by mid-November, I'll be able to get out a lot more and deal with some things, but it's good.
Appreciate it. Look forward to having you back.
Yeah, thanks, Hartley. Appreciate it.
You bet. Trevor Sprague is the general manager for Caribou Hockey, and you've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.